For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is May the 8th. Okay, so we are in Megillas Ruth. We're about to start Perek Beis in Megillas Ruth, which is on page 1270. And we described in Perek Aleph the chesed of Boaz and the chesed of Ruth, to Boaz to Klal Yisrael, Ruth to Naomi. We discussed also the status of Ruth and Orpah, whether they were Jewish or not Jewish. And now we're going to begin with how Boaz and Ruth actually meet each other and the beginning of the chesed between them. As we described, the whole point of this Megillah is to show the chesed of Boaz and Ruth, the incredible chesed of the two of them, which leads to the birth of David HaMelech, because Malchus has to come from chesed. So the pasuk says, Uvenami modali isha. It's Pasuk Aleph, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Naomi had a relative through her husband. She had a relative, Ish Gibor Chayil, Mishpachat Ali Melech, Ushmo Boaz. So we described last time that Boaz was Naomi's first cousin. Naomi and Boaz, their fathers were brothers, and as we mentioned, Nachshon ben Aminadav had four sons, one of whom was Ali Melech, who was Naomi's husband. The other was Naomi's father. Elimelech and Naomi were an uncle and niece, married to each other. And the third one was Boaz's father, Salma or Salmon, depending on where you see it, it's pronounced different ways. And the fourth one is Tov or Ploni Almoni, who is mentioned at the end of the Megillah. So Naomi had a relative through her husband, whose name is Boaz, and this is her first cousin. I'll go and I'll collect. She's going to collect leket, shikha, and peya, the matanos matnasanim. She went and she came. Chazal, stop on these words. She went and she came and she collected. It seems funny. She says she went, she collected, and she came. What she went and she collect and she went and she came. So there's a couple of different explanations. Anybody know the pshat in this? She went and she came.
Oh, something about. Did I completely make this up? She would leave a.
No, that's right.
Trail or something.
That's right.
No, so
Chazal say first she went through the field, and made sure she knew how to get back. Then she went and collected. So it was in order to make sure she knew her way back. That's a really significant point, isn't it?
Back.
You could say it that way. But the purpose was in order for her to know how to get back. That was the point.
She get lost, though. Like, is it that big of a field?
Well, it could be many fields.
Okay.
We don't live in an agricultural society, but
okay.
You could get lost in fields, you know where, right. Especially since she's new to the country, right? Okay. So, I said that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, that it's a really significant fact. Obviously, we need to know this, right? So hold on to that thought. Acharei Hakotzim, it was after those who harvested. Vayikar Mikreha, and it just so happened that she came to Chokas Asadol Boaz Hashem Mishpachas Ali Melech. So she came to Boaz's field. She didn't plan to go to Boaz's field, but that's where she ended up.
Boaz is her what?
Boaz is Naomi's first cousin. So for her, it would be her husband, her deceased husband, who is Machlon. So it's Machlon's. Depends how you look at it. Either first cousin or first cousin once removed. And from Machlon's father, he's a first cousin to Boaz. From Machlon's father, he's also a first cousin to his mother, to Naomi. Okay. But from his mother's side, he's a first cousin once removed to Boaz. So Boaz was coming from Beit Lechem, because that's where he was near Beit Lechem, and he said to the Kotzrim, Hashem should be with you, And they said to him, Yivarechecha Hashem. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah really says, in Maseches Brachos, that Boaz instituted a new thing, that when you give shalom to a person, you should use Hashem's name. You shouldn't say Hashem, you should actually say Hashem's name. As he said to them, Hashem Imachem, and they said to him back, Yivarechecha Hashem. So he instituted using Hashem's name when giving shalom to each other. And that's derived from here.
Why don't we do that today?
Okay, that's a good question. Why don't we do this today? It's a good question. But why is that so important for us to know over here? That punkt over here in Maseches, in Megillas Rus, we learn that Boaz instituted this new thing. Boaz said to his lad, who's this young lady? Chazal asked, was it the way of Boaz to inquire about a young lady in his field? Right? Today, I wouldn't be embarrassed asking such a question. So for Boaz to ask such a question, I mean, what kind of question is that? So Chazal say he saw in her a mida of, it's different Chazal, either a mida of tzmius or a mida of chachma that he saw in her. The Chazal say, that Rashi says over, he saw in her mida of chachma, that she knew that for leket, that two sheaves, the drop, is leket, and she can pick them up, and three or more is not leket, she's not allowed to pick them up. That's the halacha. Right? You know the halacha? There's leket shikha and peah. Shikha is anything that's forgotten in the field. Peah is a corner of the field left over deliberately for the aniyim. And leket is as they're harvesting and they drop some, because it's hard, you know, you're gathering up the sheaves and some fall on the ground. If one or two fall to the ground, they must be left for the aniyim. If three or more fall to the ground, it belongs to the Baal HaBayis. So she knew that halacha. So he noticed that she knew that. Evidently, most of the people who were Amoratzim didn't know that. And here, this Gioras coming from Moab, not a learned person, how would she know that? So he was impressed. I mean, he didn't know at first that she was a Gioras from Moab, but he was impressed that she knew the halacha. So he asked the Nar, who is this person? That's what he was asking. Vayan hanar hanitzav al hakotrim vayomar nara Moav yohi hashava im Nami misay Moav. She returned with Nami from the fields of Moav. Vatomer, she said al hakatana vasafti v'amarim, I'll gather the bundles acharei hakotrim vatavo vatamor meyaz habokir v'adato, she's been here since the morning till now, zeh shivto habayis Moav, she's going back to the what does it say here, she has been resting a little in the hut. There was a hut over there. She rarely went to the hut. She was really working very hard to try to collect as much as she could. Vayomer Boaz el Rus, Halo shamat biti. Behold, my daughter, I've heard. Al telchi will kot. Haven't you heard? Al telchi will kot b'sada acher. Don't go collecting someplace else. V'gam lo savuri mizeh. Don't pass away from here. V'chosid v'kinim narosa. You should cling to my maidens. Stay here. Your eyes should be in here where they're harvesting, and you should go after them. I've commanded the young men not to touch you, which means not to harass you, because sometimes the poor people could get underfoot. You know, you're trying to work, and the poor people are trying to collect. They can get in the way. It could become very annoying. So I've told them that don't bother you. You have your run of the place. Don't be worried. If it's a miss, you'll get thirsty. You can take a drink from that which they draw from the well. You know, today we have running water. When you have to go draw the water, it's a lot of work. So they're bringing back water. The Kotzrim got very thirsty in their work. So they've got it. You know, it's hard. Don't worry. You can drink from what they draw. Now, Rus was not treated like this by the other Jews. Rus was, as we said last time, she was a Moaviyah. The Moavim and the Jews did not get along with each other. She was an outcast. She was a person who was not accepted amongst the Yidden. She was with a woman, Naomi, who had left as a princess and came back with nothing, extremely poor, lost everything. People were murmuring about Naomi. Oh, Lord, she must have done wrong. Look, her husband died, her boys died, she lost all of her money. So Rus was not treated well. And here Boaz is treating her beautifully. So Rus is very touched. She fell on her face. She bowed to the ground. What did I do? Did I deserve this? I'm a foreign woman. What did I do? Vayan Boaz Vayomer La. Boaz answered her. This is very significant. Hugeid Hugadli. It was told to me. Kol Asher Asisas Chamoseich. All you did for your mother-in-law. Acharei Mos Isheich. After your husband died. Vatazvi Avich Veimeich. You left your father and your mother. Be'eretz Molateich. Vatielki Alam Asher Lo Yadat Tzmol Shel Shom. I heard of all the chesed that you've done with Naomi. The Gemara tells us that Rus was a daughter, or at least a descendant, of Eglon Melech Moav. She was of royal blood in Moav. She gave up a royal position in Moav for what? For chesed to her mother-in-law. And as we mentioned last time, there was no hope for Ruth to get anything out of this. She thought that she was giving up everything. She thought that the only thing she was going to get out of this is the ability to do chesed to her mother-in-law. She wasn't going to get anything in Eretz Yisrael. No one was going to give her a second glance. She was 40 years old. She was a widow. She was a foreigner. No one was going to look at her. No one was going to care about her. Her mother-in-law said to her, "You're not going to find a husband going back with me." So she had no hope. So she did it purely for chesed. Says Boaz to Ruth, "I heard all about it. Yishalem Hashem pa'aleich. Hashem should pay you for what you've done. If you come, you have come to go under his wing, under the wing of Hashem." And she said, "I should have favor in your eyes, my master, because you have consoled me. You've talked on the heart of your maidservant. I'm not even like one of your maidservants, I'm less than that." So Boaz is giving her tremendous nachas. He's giving her he's speaking nicely to her. He's making her feel welcomed, something that she has not gotten yet in Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer la Boaz. Boaz said to her, "What is missing from the word la?" Go ahead, Rabbi Hiller will be proud.
The dot
in the hay. Good.
I was scared to say it.
Yeah. It should say la. It should be a mapek hay. It should be a mapek hay. And Boaz said to her, Chazal comment on this, we'll get to it in a moment. Leisa ochal, the time of the eating, he said to her, Goshi halom v'achat mi halechem, come close and eat from the bread. So now he's even giving her lunch. V'tovalt piteich b'chometz, and dip your bread in vinegar. Chazal, I don't have anything to say about this, but I'm just going to tell you. Chazal say, you see from here, that if it's hot, it's good to have vinegar. It's good for a person who is in the sun. I don't know why. Vateshev mitzana kotzrim. So she sat near the harvesters. Vayitz badlakali. They gave her some parched grain, it says. That means grain that's been roasted. Vatocha vatispa vatosar. She ate. She was satisfied and she had leftovers. Vatokam lelakeit. She got up to gather. Vayitzav boaz es narav lemar. Gam bein ha'amarim to lakeit. Also between the bundles, let her collect. Do not embarrass her. So again, this is the point that even though she may be getting in the way, it's okay. Let her do it. Don't embarrass her. Let her go wherever she's going to go. It's fine. V'gam shol tasholu la minatzivasim. And also, let's look at the English here to get the exact translation. Deliberately pull out some for her from the heaps. V'azavtem, and let them go. V'likta, let her collect them. V'lusigaraba, don't bother her. Don't yell at her. Meaning, I want you to deliberately drop leket so that she'll get it. So Boaz is now doing, Ruth doesn't know this, but Boaz is trying to make sure she gets a huge collection. Yeah?
Isn't there a halakha that you're not allowed to like deliberately drop it or something?
Why? If it's for the poor, you could.
Okay.
Yeah, this is for the poor. Now, why doesn't you just give it to her?
She'll be embarrassed.
She doesn't want to just give her tzedakah. He wants her to feel like she's doing the work and collecting, so he does that. But he has them deliberately dropped. She collected till the evening. She gathered it all up. It was an ephah of barley, which is a massive amount for a poor person to collect in one day. She collected a huge amount in one day, way more than would have been expected. Now it's barley because they are in the barley harvesting season. We read at the end of Perek Aleph that they came to Beis Lech on the beginning of the Ketzir Seorim. When, we said last week, when is the beginning of Ketzir Seorim?
After Pesach.
Right after, or right at Pesach. The beginning, what's the first thing you harvest? of the Seorim?
The Karban HaOmer.
So she came Pesach time. And so she's there, and therefore the first thing that she's collecting here is barley. Wheat wasn't yet ripe. That's going to be Shavuos time. But barley is Pesach time. So she brought it to the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had collected. Her mother-in-law was astounded. She even took out what she had left over from lunch. She had left over food from lunch, which was ready-made food, not just barley. And she also gave it to her mother-in-law. Now, her mother-in-law was no fool. If there's any lesson you learn from the whole Megillah, it's that Naomi was no fool. Naomi is the one who's going to orchestrate everything over here. She's the ultimate orchestrator. So Naomi realized immediately what was going on. So her mother-in-law said to her, "Efoni kat hayom, where did you collect today? Va'anasis, what did you do? Yihi makirech baruch, the one who recognized you, let him be blessed." She chapt that somehow this was deliberate. She realized it. Ruth may not have realized it, but Naomi realized it. She understood something was going on. She said to her daughter-in-law, "Baruch Hu Hashem, asher lo azav chaso et hachayim v'et hameisim, that he has not forsaken his chesed, neither with the living nor with the dead." He's taking care of you, he's taking care of me, he's taking care of his relatives, widows, and those who've been left behind. Vatomer la Naomi, Naomi said to her, "Karov lanu ha'ish, he's a relative of ours. Mi goalenu hu, he is from those who are our goel." A goel means a redeemer. Now this word goel, the first time it's used in Megillas Rus, will be used over and over and over and over again in the third and fourth prakim, and it is not an easy pshat to understand where the geula comes in over here. We're not ready to discuss it right now, but I am advising you strongly to pay attention in this week's parsha, Parshas Bahar, where there is an extensive discussion about geula of land, because it ties in directly to what's going on over here with when she says he is from our goalim. We'll discuss this with him next week. Next week is when the geula really comes front and center with who's in line. That Boaz is going to tell Ruth, "I'd love to marry you, but there's someone else before me who was first in line." We're going to discuss that extensively next week. But here's the first time the Geula is mentioned. Vatomer Ruth haMoavia, "Gam ki amar elai," he also said to me, "Imani arima shalitid bakin, you should cleave to my young lads, ada in kilu eis kolak klatira shali, until they've finished all of my harvesting," meaning not just the barley, but everything, barley and wheat. Vatomer Naomi al Ruth kalasa, "Better you should go out with his maidens. They shouldn't bother you in another field. Who knows what will happen in another field? Maybe they'll give you a hard time. You should stay with his people." She stayed with the young women of Boaz to collect. Till the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, which means she went from Pesach through Shavuos, because the beginning of the wheat harvest is Shavuos time, and then after Shavuos as well. So she went into the beginning of the summer with Boaz's coatstrim. Then she stayed with her mother-in-law. So we've gone from Pesach time through to Shavuos into the summer, and then she stayed with her mother-in-law. That's the end of the second parak. So without any pirush over here, without any farshim, we already see incredible chesed of Boaz to Rus. We've described in Perek Aleph the chesed of Rus to Naomi, the chesed of Boaz to Klal Yisrael. Now we see the direct chesed of Boaz to Rus. We don't yet see the chesed of Rus to Boaz. That'll be the next parak. Perek Gimel, we'll see the chesed of Rus to Boaz. Boaz will make note of it. It's mefurish in the pasuk. You don't have to go looking for it. It's in Perek Gimel. But here we find Boaz's chesed to Rus, and Boaz also expresses more clearly the chesed of Rus to Naomi, which was in the first parak, but here Boaz says it out. We read about it. So again, the theme of the chesed of these two incredible people is being emphasized by the Navi. Which Navi, again, who wrote Megillas Rus?
Shmuel.
Correct. We said that the first week, 2 weeks ago. Right. So we see that here in Perek Beis. But let's go back to some of the points that we made and show some really astonishing things. So it says that Rus went and came back and she collected. So Chazal said, what do you mean? She went and came back? First, she went, she collected and came back. What do you mean she went and came back and then collected? So we said that she was being mitzayinah sadrachim. She was making sure she knew how to get back. She went, made sure she understood the ways. She made signs so she could come back. What does that tell you about Rus, about her personality? Just think about it for a moment. There are different types of people in this world. There are probably different types of people sitting in this room right now. I don't know all of you well. So there are probably different types of people. There are people who are very cautious people, that if you tell them that I want you to go here, there, or anywhere, they're going to make sure they have directions, it's all in the GPS, they know exactly where they're going, they can have a couple of phone calls in case they get lost, and they're all, right? And then there are other people who you tell them go, they're just going to get in the car and drive, and then when they get lost, they'll figure it out, right? Different types of people in this world, right? Or they won't figure it out, but, you know, right? There's all kinds of... Right? And I'm sure all of you are representative of different types of personalities in that way. You all know yourselves, you probably know each other, and in any given group you're going to find different types of people. What's the type of person who, before she goes and collects, is going to make sure that she doesn't get lost?
Smart.
Smart.
Deliberate.
Cautious. Deliberate. Right? Thought out. You can see very easily that there are a lot of people who are just going to show up at the field, oh, it's time to collect, and just go collecting, and realize after a few hours, oh, where am I? Right? There's a lot of people like that. But Rus wasn't like that. Rus was the kind of person who was thought out, who was cautious, who made sure that she looked before she leaped. Is that not so? Do you not see that from this point? Would you not automatically assume that about Rus? It seems to me that's why Chazal tells this to us. Why did Shmuel HaNavi put this in here? I mean, good, okay, it's a nice thing, but I mean, alright, why did he put it here? Because he wanted to emphasize, you should know, Rus's personality was one of caution, was one of being thought out, where she looked before she leaped. And yet, the same Rus, who didn't normally act this way, followed Nami to Eretz Yisrael with no plan, with no thinking at all, no thought, nothing thought out at all. She went against her natural personality. Her natural personality would be to say, whoa, one second, before I go back with my mother-in-law, I want to go there, I want to scout it out, before I become a Gioris, I want to make sure that it's good for me, I want to make sure that the Jews are going to take care of me, and they'll be really nice to me, that I'll have a husband. Like, that would be the way Rus's personality normally was, as you see from the way she acted over here at the field. That was typical Rus. But because of her overriding concern for her mother-in-law and her intention to do chesed to her mother-in-law, she gave up her natural, she went against her natural personality, and she threw caution to the wind, and she said, Esa shel tel chi eilech, wherever you go, I'll go. Asher tomin alin, everything. Everything. I am going with you. Forget it. Don't try to dissuade me. I'm becoming Jewish. I'm going with you. And forget it. I'm just doing it. It was completely against Rus's entire personality. This would be the same thing as a person who, imagine a person who is very scared of heights. Terrified of heights. And they see that there's a person who is an elderly or a sick person who needs help going up a very steep flight of stairs or a very steep escalator, which they would never go on because they're terrified of heights. But they say, I'm going to go anyway because I have to help this person. They're going against their natural phobia, their natural fears, because of the need to help this person. That's what Rus was doing over here. Naturally, she never would have done this. She never would have jumped into something the way she did to go with Nami. But because of the chesed, she did it. So Shmuel is Shmuel and Nami put this in here to show us the extent of Rus's chesed. So she's there, and we're introduced to Boaz in this manner, that Boaz came from Beis Lechem. And the first thing we know about Boaz is he instituted a new way of greeting people. Until now, people did not use Hashem's name in greeting. Boaz instituted a new way to greet people with Hashem's name. And you can ask, first of all, how can you do that? I mean, just use Hashem's name? Is that okay? Well, it must be okay, because Boaz is saying to do it. But why is that okay? What's good about that? And if it's good, why didn't they do it until now? So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it. Yehoshua didn't do it. What now, Boaz? So he's bigger than they are, and what's that? He's now deciding to do it. So why? What's this? Using Hashem's name? So it must be that using Hashem's name in greeting is okay. Is a good thing if it's necessary. And in Boaz's time, it became necessary. Until then, it wasn't necessary, but now it was necessary. Why did it become necessary now? What significant thing happened that Boaz would institute using Hashem's name in greeting each other?
Famine?
The famine. That's the only thing we know of. That's the only thing that we know of in Boaz's time, the significant thing, is the famine. Why is this? We know from, what's the most famous Ra'av that we're all familiar with? From Chumash?
Mitzrayim, right?
Yosef from Mitzrayim. So, with Paro's dreams, so it says, Vatavona el Kirbena, Volonodaki vo el Kirbena, that they swallowed up the skinny ones, swallowed up the other ones, and they didn't, and after they swallowed up, you couldn't even tell, they were just gone. And there's a Lashon over there in Parshas Mikates with the dreams that it says. What's that? What?
My students are not this quiet.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure teaching people like you. I recommend highly that you should teach each other. Okay. When he dreamed about the seven healthy cows, it says Yefos Mara. They were beautiful to look at. Rashi says Simenhu Liyamei Hasova. That's a simen for the days of plenty. Shehabrios Niros Yafos Zulazu. People look beautiful to each other. He doesn't mean physically beautiful. Rashi then explains She'ein Ayin Beria Tzara Bechaverta. People are not stingy with each other. People feel good and easy about sharing with each other. When you live in a community or a society of affluence, as Baruch Hashem we do, people are easygoing about sharing, about allowing people to use their things, about allowing people to have some of their things. Unfortunately, in lean times, when there's poverty and there's no food, people become very stingy and they become very protective of what's theirs. There's an ayin ra'a. There is a stinginess that people have towards each other. Rashi says later on, I'm going to take time out to look for it, but that's what Rashi says later on, in contrast to the brios, that when it's the ra'os, that's the way they are. So, during the famine, 10 years of famine, many, many people died of starvation, something Baruch Hashem, which we have no concept of. Now, people died because they had nothing to eat. They starved to death during the Rav. And there was also sickness. We said that Boaz himself lost 60 children, unimaginable, that he lost during the Rav. Boaz was, as we said, he ended the Rav. How did he end the Rav? He davened. And he ended the Rav. He showed chesed to Klal Yisrael. He stuck it out. He did not do like his uncle Elimelech, who went to the fields of Moab. He stayed and he helped and he was mechazik people and he went to levayas and he went to bedsides, he went to hospitals, and he was with Klal Yisrael in their tzara, and he davened and davened and davened until HaKadosh Baruch Hu ended the Rav. He also did something else. He instituted that when you greet people, you use Hashem's name. Why did he do that? Because when there's a famine, people are ayin tzara. People have stinginess. People have a sense that I don't want to talk to anybody else. I don't want to be involved with anybody else. If I talk to you, you're going to tell me your tzaras. I also have tzaras. I don't want to hear your tzaras. And not only that, you're going to ask me for food. I also need food. You're going to tell me how your kid is starving. My kid's also starving. Like, we're not interested in that. He said, when you greet someone, you use Hashem's name. Got to remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing this famine. It's not purposeless. It's purposeful. And the greeting of another person, you got to remember, he's a Tzelem Elokim, just as you are. And we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you meet someone, you use Hashem's name. And so you say, Hashem Imachem. And they say back to you, Yivarechacha Hashem. That's what he instituted. And he held it was mutter, or correct, to use Hashem's name. Even though normally, how can you just use Hashem's name? But he did it, and the Mishnah in Brachos praises Boaz for this. So you ask, why don't we do it today? Today we're much more careful with Hashem's name than they used to be. You know, the halacha is, when you're learning Torah, you're allowed to use Hashem's name explicitly. Even if you're not saying a whole pasuk. Even if you're not learning Tanakh, you're learning Gemara. Yeah, and you can use Hashem's name. If it comes up in the discussion, you can say Hashem's name explicitly. Nobody does that today. Because we're nervous. We feel that we're not, our Kedusha is very, we're very lax, and we're not on a level to be using Hashem's name just, you know, stop. But Be'etzem, it is mutter to use it. Even the term Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom is one of the Shemos Hashem. It's not actually using Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it is at least partially using Hashem's name, sort of. So, Boaz institutes that over here. Then it says, Vayomer la Boaz. Boaz said to her, but it doesn't say la with a mapek hey. It's missing the, it should say la to her. That's in Pasuk.
Yudalit,
thank you. Vayomer la Boaz leisa ochel. So, Rashi in Chumash, I should really ask you if you know where it is, but I don't want to put you on the spot. Rashi in Chumash, at the end of Parashat Matos, Rashi says, the last pasuk in Parashat Matos. The last pasuk in Parashat Matos says, it's on page 916. This is about the cities that were conquered by Reuben, Gad, and Chassi Shevet Menashe. So it says, this is the ones that were conquered by Menashe. So it says, V'novach halach, Novach was one of the B'nai Menashe, V'yokonath Kenas ves B'noseha, he conquered Kenas and its surroundings, V'yikra la Novach b'shmo, he called it Novach by his own name. But it doesn't say la with a mapike. Again, it's missing the dot. It should say La with a mapake, but it doesn't. So Rashi here says, Baikwa Lanovach, La ain't a mapake. V'ro'isi v'yosodo shal Moshe Hadarshan, I saw in Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan, why doesn't it say La with a mapake? L'fishol neskayim La Shem Zeh, because this name didn't last. It didn't, the name Novach didn't last. He named it Novach, but eventually it wasn't called Novach anymore. Lafikahu Rafa. That's why it's weak. You know, it's with the Mapakei, it's Chazak. Without the Mapakei, it's Rafa. It's weak. To show that it didn't last. That's what Rabbi Moshe Darshan says. Midrasho, so the way you darshan the pasuk is kamo lo, like Lamed Aleph instead of Lamed Hey. Vayikra lo, he didn't call it Novach. Right? It didn't last. Okay. Vitzmihani, but Rashi says, but I'm perplexed by this explanation. What is he going to darshan in the two other places in Tanakh that have the same thing? Rashi didn't need a computer to tell him the two other places in all of Tanakh that it says La without a mapakei. One is here, the other two places are Vayomer La Boaz, that's our pasuk, and Libos La Bayes, which is a pasuk in Zechariah. So therefore, Rashi says, I get what Rabbi Moshe Darshan is saying over here, but what will he say for the pasuk in Rus? The Ramban at the end of Matos quotes Rashi, and then he says, "I will tell you an answer for the non-mapekei both in Rus and in Zechariah." So I could tell you about Zechariah, but since we're not learning Zechariah, it would be a whole. If we get into it over there, so we'll leave that out. But what does he do over here? So he says, because Rus kept referring to herself as a shifcha. She kept saying shifcha secha in the previous pasuk Yud Gimel. Em sachem einecha aduniki nichantani v'chidibarta alev shifcha secha. She kept calling herself a maidservant. So Boaz was saying to her, "Lo, no, you are destined for greatness. You're not going to remain as you are now. I see with Ruach HaKodesh, because of your incredible chesed, you are destined for greatness. You're not going to stop here." So he was saying to her, don't belittle yourself to refer to yourself as a shivcha. That's not who you are. You're eventually, now I don't know that he knew about this, but eventually she's going to become Ima Shel Malchus. She's going to become the mother of royalty. That's Rus. So that's why over here, Quintan Sunaban says, that's why it says La without the Mapik He. So you see the chesed of Rus to Naomi that Boaz knows about, and therefore he does chesed directly to Rus. Now, here we are at the end of Perek Beis. The Velt, I'm talking about the secular Velt, and sometimes even within the religious Velt, look at the story of Rus and Boaz as a beautiful love story. So here we are at the end of Perek Beis, and we've seen interaction between Boaz and Rus. The interaction, would you describe it as a loving interaction, or an interaction of infatuation of some sort?
No.
How would you describe
admiration.
It? Admiration. That's correct. That's exactly what it is. Right? What Boaz admires, he thinks Rus is an unbelievable person. The chachma he saw in her, in that it was knowing the halakhos of Leket, and knowing the chesed. I don't know how he knew about the chesed with Naomi. He might have found out because Naomi is his relative. He never met Rus before, but he heard about what happened. And now he meets Rus, now he knows who the person is. This is the Rus. So he now is very, very impressed and admires her, and he tells her that. And he does for her. She feels, she doesn't admire Boaz, she feels
indebted,
supported, she feels taken care of by Boaz. Is there any sort of feelings of love or anything like that between them? Rus is 40 years old. Boaz is
80
years old. Boaz is an old man. Boaz, his wife just died in the end of Perek Aleph, and although they all died, he had 60 children, the Gemara tells us. So Boaz is he's in the twilight of his life. I mean, he's at the very, very end, and we know he's going to die at the end of the Megillah. So we're not talking about a young man who sees this woman and becomes taken with her. That's not what's going on here at all. This is an old Gadol Hadar. That's what you got a picture over here. You got a picture, the Gadol Hadar that we're used to, even though it's obviously, they can't compare at all to Boaz, but on our Madrega, we can compare. So picture the elderly, pick Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky if you want. Or pick the ones who have passed away recently, the Gadol Chaim. So, if you want to pick Rabbi Yashiv, or pick Chacham Avadya, or pick whoever you want, but picture that in your mind. That's what Boaz was. He was the Shofet, he was the Gadol Hadar, and he was an elderly man. And here, this wonderful Rus, who is not a young lady, I mean, she's not old, she's 40, but she's not a young lady, she's not a 20-year-old, she's a 40-year-old lady, and she herself has gone through a pretty rough time in life, having lost her husband, and having come back with nothing and being in dire poverty. So she doesn't look like a beautiful woman, she's not all dressed up, I mean, she's in poverty, she's wearing rags. But he sees in her and admires all the wonderful things she did, so he's trying to give something back to her because she deserves it, and trying to bolster her and be mechazik her. Don't put yourself down, think highly of yourself, you're a wonderful person, and I know it, and you should know it too. And that's what he's trying to do, and he's trying to help out his flesh and blood. He's trying to help out Naomi get more food to them without embarrassing them. That's what's going on over here. The proof to this is that in the next parak, when they actually do discuss marriage, Boaz is astonished. Boaz never would have thought for a moment that Rus would consider him, and Rus doesn't consider him either. Who's the Shadchan? Naomi. Naomi makes up a shidduch that neither one of them would have ever considered. They met each other. They didn't consider marriage. But Naomi is the shadchan. That's really a good title for Naomi, because the shadchan is an orchestrator. Naomi is the shadchan. And so we're not talking here at all about this juvenile love story. We're talking over here about two people who are incredible people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees need to be brought together to create David HaMelech. And that's who they are. Now, just to conclude for today, it's already 9 o'clock, Boaz comes from Nachshon Ben Aminadab, comes from Yehuda. We already talked about this in the first week, that the line of David HaMelech most likely would come from Nachshon Ben Aminadab, and therefore Boaz is the top candidate, as we'll see. And Rus comes from Eglon Melech Moab, as we mentioned today. So what does that mean, that she comes from Eglon? Why is that significant?
Well, that's from Moab.
What's that?
Wasn't Eglon Melech Moab the one who's Gidon and the Shoftim?
Didn't he get killed and he was like really fat?
Mm-hmm.
So that was before he stood up for Hashem's name.
He stood up for Hashem's name because not Gidon, because no, it was Ehud. Thank you. Ehud ben Gera. Yeah, because Ehud said to him, "Dvar Elokim li Elecha Melech," or "Dvar, I have a word from Hashem for you." And when he heard Hashem's name, he stood up. And he was a Rasha Marusha.
And he was really fat. Like, isn't that actually a T-shirt?
Yeah, yeah. And that was the last thing he did. And then he was killed, right? Which he deserved to die. He was a terrible person. But he stood up. So for that schar, he was zaycha that Rus should come from him. For that. Plus, Rus comes from Moab, who comes from Lot, and Lot and his daughters. That's the other line that's coming out. So you have the line of Lot with his daughters, which that line has to produce Mashiach. And also Eglon standing up, that also has to, that schus comes, that finds expression in Rus, Yehuda finds expression in Boaz, and they're going to be brought together to create David HaMelech. But so we're up to that. So next week, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to talk, as I said, extensively about the Geula, because it's confusing. The Geula is a confusing issue. So if you have the wherewithal this Shabbos to pay attention in Parshas Vayikra, it's a short parsha, but just to pay attention to the issues of Geula, of the various schools. The truth is, it's not only the parsha, it's also the Haftarah this week also is about Geula. It's in Yirmiyahu. So if you have a chance, it will help you for next week's Shiur Mitzvah Shem.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.